roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goat. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you're listening to MMA Junkie Radio, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host. What's up, Goes?
What up?
Not much, man. Fun show for today. We'll do a little bit of the predictions for UFC on ESPN Plus 25. We're going to cover a lot of news. I think we're going to become a little TMZ-ish today because there's a lot of news that doesn't pertain to fights, fight bookings, that type of stuff. But big names are making waves out there in the world. And then we're going to go back to our old chops, Goes, you know, trying to cover the sport, not just the athletes, but the other MMA notables that are out there in the space, contributing one way or another. In this case, it's Matt McGovern from World Fighting Championships. We'll chat with him. I can't believe this guy's had so many shows, Goes. I never heard of him until it was presented for an opportunity to interview him. And there's a lot of upcoming shows as well. His man's staying busy. His promotion's staying busy.
He's a young cat, too.
Yeah, for sure. So, folks, buckle up. It's going to be a fun MMA Junkie Radio show on a Thursday morning.
In 2008, a former D1 football star pulled off a robbery so daring and so strange that it went viral worldwide. It was a perfect crime story. There was just one problem. It wasn't the real story of what happened. The Sneak is a new, serialized true crime podcast from For the Win and USA Today Sports. You can subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or get it anywhere you get podcasts on Tuesday, January 14th.
All right, guys, before we get into the fights that are taking place on Saturday in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, which is basically Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's supposedly an outskirt, but we got to give that city love. Let's talk about some of the big news, man. Some stuff is kind of sad. Some stuff's kind of concerning. Some stuff is just MMA news. But tell you what, we'll start off on a good note. Bellator, they're going the champ route, Goes. Douglas Lima will fight Gegard Mousasi, because Rafael Lovato Jr. has indeed relinquished his title. Remember, a few weeks ago we talked about the brain injury concern that he has. And so in light of that, on May 9th in San Jose, there will be a main event featuring a champ Ryan Bader with Vadim Nemkov. So Bader will be defending his light heavyweight title. And on that same card, goes like it's like a champ theme, Douglas Lima, the current welterweight champ, he will defend against Gegard Mousasi, the former middleweight champ, for the Bellator vacant middleweight title.
So when you see the poster, because that's the way I found out, was just seeing the poster, you think, cool, that's actually kind of a fun matchup, right?
It is.
But when you think about the ramifications of what it would do to Bellator, you might go, I don't know if this champ thing is going to, you know, enough already. Where are we at with all this? How many people have to wait for shots? But to me, in this particular instance, the matchup was so much fun that I kind of overlooked that part.
Yeah. And you know what? I guess the other thing is, you know how you said, oh, man, you know, it stalls a certain division. Others are waiting in line. Man, Bellator doesn't have the depth of the UFC. You see what I'm saying? So we can't even roll off our tongues the depth. I mean, I know they got a lot of welterweight depth that I can name off. You know, I think
quite a bit.
Larkin would be a little disappointed. He seemed to be next in line. You know, the guys like MVP are trying to make their move again. But Rory McDonald has moved on. And by the way, Douglas Lima re-signed along with Ilima Lane McFarland. But then even at middleweight division, you just struggle to name these names off of who's waiting in the wings. So you know what? Maybe Bellator is right. Let's just do great fights because we don't have the depth right now. So not that many people are disappointed.
It's definitely going to make you tune in. That's for sure. That's a fight that I don't want to miss.
Yeah, indeed. But anyway, that's still later in the spring. Just wanted to put it out there, start things off on a good note. And then we'll do one more fun story here. Sharing the love. Showing you guys that we don't have to talk about UFC, UFC, UFC all the time. We're MMA junkie. ONE Championship has launched their new ONE Infinity Series. Demetrius Johnson is going to headline the first event. All right, that's the big promotion, out in Asia. And what they're trying to do goes, they've branded this ONE Infinity Series. These events are going to be the very best of what the world has to offer. Or in this case, what ONE Championship has to offer. They're going to have a minimum of 12 world champions, super fights, A-list celebrities, and more. So I think they're just going to put a big, big spotlight on these. Almost like a UFC pay-per-view. You know how UFC pay-per-views once a month kind of just stand out?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going to do. But they're not saying anything about a pay-per-view. I think they're just saying, hey, these are big events. I think Bellator calls them tentpole events, and they have four per year, so like one every quarter.
Well, big events for who is my first question, right? The only people I care about are the people over here. And I mean, I guess if you're going to have these big events, I want to have names that I recognize. That's how you're going to get me to tune in. And you start off at the top with Demetrius Johnson,
which I think
he's going to be the first one. I'm down, but I mean, he needs dance partners, right? And I got to imagine a guy like Eddie Alvarez will probably show up eventually as well. But I don't know. I guess people overseas might hear this type of news and be really, really happy and hope a big event like that comes to their area. But in the States, it's not any different than any other card for us.
Yeah, you know, I'd love to talk to Chatri Sidyatong, their CEO, and just see if this press release creates a lot of waves in Asia, then salut. You know, my hat's off to you guys. Way to go. Keep doing your thing. But if these press releases are ever done to create a big buzz in North America, it's really hard for us to get excited unless you toss out big names.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for them to say, and things will start off in Singapore, and then we're going to Vietnam, and then we're going to Indonesia. I mean, that's not even close for me to think, hey, Ghost, get on Southwest. Let's see if we can hop over there on the weekend and check it out. You know, like Rio Rancho, that's only an hour away. I mean, we can catch that. You know, they're going to be in Nebraska later on. They're going to be back in Portland, I believe I heard, the UFC, and even Bellator, San Jose, we just said, all 1 hour flights away. That's what gets us excited. But we do have to report it, and we do, and we're very happy for them. And I'll tell you what, Demetrius Johnson versus Adriano Moraes is pretty solid start. That's their main event. So Demetrius is the flyweight Grand Prix champion, and now he's going to go for the flyweight title that's held by ONE Championship by Adriano Moraes. So anybody that's a little confused and says, wait a minute, I thought he got in a tournament and won it. He did, but he only won the Grand Prix. He hasn't won the actual undisputed title.
Do you remember how happy or how excited everybody was at the Conor McGregor fight, that a lot of big name celebrities that we're not used to seeing around were actually there and paid attention? It could just be that overseas their version of those people, right? And maybe just that makes everything that much bigger of a deal for them. But I don't know, over here, not so much.
Let's blast through some other news here. Juan Adams has announced his release. Goes Brad Katona as well. And I think there was a list of 8 other fighters, but these are the notable ones. Juan Adams just fought and lost to Justin Taffa. And then he exits with a 1-3 record. But goes, how about that last chance? He had that single. What if the ref lets it go a little bit longer? He pulls off a miracle. He's 2-2. He's not cut. I'm not saying that it was that egregious. I think I've stated already on record, I felt Taffa was on his way to winning, but still, that's how important some of these stoppages can be. You know what I mean? Adam says he's going to fight his way back and get back, you know, or earn his way back. He doesn't seem as down as, you know, others get when they do get cut.
What would you have told him if he would have made that argument that he believes that bad stoppage led to him being cut? Would he have a case?
I would say no, because I remember he got sent to the moon almost with an uppercut. And so it wasn't looking good, is what it boils down to. It wasn't looking good for him. But you know, I guess the first thing you plead in a case like that is, look what I was doing. A, you weren't, you know, your eyes hadn't rolled back. You're not holding, you know, sometimes they go, man, he was holding onto the ref's leg. Mm-hmm. Or he got up and he was stumbling. He was doing none of that. He actually grabbed the single and had a good lock on the single, you know. And usually when you do that, you know, you hide your leg, excuse me, your head on the leg that you're grabbing, you know, along the way, and hope that the other guy can't get some sort of a, you know, hammer fist on you. But what the one thing they're doing is they're not getting straight punches on you. And if that's enough for you to maybe secure a takedown or just buy some time, you're back in the fight, you know. You know, that fight happened a long time ago, and there's already been a cut since then, so I'm not going to worry about it too much. But, no, Katona was only 2-2. See, Adams was 1-1. Katona mm-hmm. was 2-2. That was a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
He's gone, and that's that. So, you know, what can you do? He's a former tough champ, too, if I'm not mistaken, right? He
beat that Jake Cuccinello guy.
Mini Bisping, I think we used to call him. All right. How about Nate Diaz? Apparently, the Miami Herald put out a false story about him, and he's threatening to sue, goes. Since then, they've retracted and apologized. It was proven through his publicist, through Diaz's publicist, that he wasn't even in the city of Miami when this altercation supposedly went down. But what'd you think about this as you were reading it?
I felt bad, and I'm going to tell you why, because when I first heard the news come out, mm-hmm. I just felt like I had this, I didn't even have this moment
sounded
of,
believable, right?
Him yeah. getting in trouble. Like, I didn't have this moment of, wait a minute, are you sure? You know, the same way you would if it were any other, most other fighters, let's just say it was a Dustin Poirier or someone like that, you just kind of go, really? That doesn't make, it kind of made sense to me at first, and I thought, oh man, another MMA guy screwing up, and then luckily, it was a false report, and I kind of felt bad for feeling that way. But, yeah, I mean, that sucks. You know, you never know. Luckily, it wasn't anything like a death or something like that, you know, where sometimes where that news gets out to family.
Yeah.
Like, you hear about Kobe Bryant and all that, and how many people heard from TMZ before they even heard from anyone else.
Very irresponsible journalism.
Yeah.
All right, now, the next question is this worth a lawsuit? Or do you just go, hey, you know, like, hey, Miami, take care of me next time I'm out. Maybe, you know, maybe put a story out about, I mean, there's got to be a way where they just, you know, no one got hurt here, right?
No. And this in this day and age, you have to kind of expect it. And I would say anybody else, maybe. But here's the thing, man. Can you go out there and call yourself a gangster or a bad motherfucker if you're suing the Miami Herald
for a
false story?
If anything,
it doesn't fit his image.
If anything, yeah, it fits his image for the story to be true. Hopefully he won whatever altercation they were saying he was in, and that's that. But I was kind of cracking up with the whole thing. Some people are so quick to jump on the lawsuit train, but whatever. All right, here we go. We're getting into some heavy stuff. Goes BJ Penn, he was involved. This one's a true one. In a single car accident this past weekend in his hometown of Hilo, Hawaii, the Big Island. Police are investigating for a possible DUI violation. And so this accident happened, according to Big Island Now, 7 p.m. No 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. 7 p.m. Already intoxicated, allegedly. Lost control of the black pickup truck and flipped the vehicle in front of a shopping mall. Goes like, this isn't like it was raining, it was muddy, you know, the terrain, you know, I mean, this just looks like I could be at a mall today and I don't think I could come close to even flipping my truck if I was trying. You know, if you gave me an envelope full of money, hey, see if you can flip your car, you know, or whatever, I would try many ways. I don't think I could do it.
Do you believe this is the wake-up call finally? Because I feel like some of the other stuff definitely should have been the wake-up call. But at this point, whether he was intoxicated or not, he's still, like, there's no really that much business to be going
speeding
that fast
at a mall. At a mall, yeah. Right? Because like, I guess the vehicle, the speed is what did it. But 7 p.m., oh, man. Let me tell you something. He probably is on some sort of a probation stemming from some of the other problems that he's had, all right? But... And that more than likely his notoriety and his money will probably get him out of this with, I mean, the stiffest warning out there. One thing's for sure, he won't be able to drive. Hell, who knows if he's supposed to drive anyway. But, goes, if he had hit somebody, there's no coming back
from
that.
That would have been the end.
Yeah, at 10 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, this better be the wake-up call, because what more is it going to take?
We don't know 100% that it had to do with alcohol, but you actually made a point yesterday.
That's what the investigators are saying. The only other thing I can think of
is... Well, they drew blood, right, which is something that they normally
CTE,
do.
CTE, like, is he thinking, like, is he role-playing, like, you know, I don't know what mm-hmm. state of mind he could be in. Go ahead.
Well, you made a good point, and it's when he's not intoxicated or going through whatever episode, whatever it is he's going through, he's one of the nicest guys that we've ever met in the sport. When you sit down and you talk to him, he's a very nice guy. He's almost like a very, like an uncle or something, like a just a loving dude that seems like he enjoys life.
Yeah, he doesn't get off on any like talking shit or nothing like that. You really got to get him going, but it'll only be about a fight. It won't be about life in general.
I like when these things happen, I don't see him as a guy that has like spite or anything like that. I really hope he does get help, because aside from these things, he seems like he's a nice guy.
Yeah, and of course it could be CTE and drinking. Who knows? I don't know what's going on. How about the medical condition that we don't know about on that Derek Lewis is dealing with? He says that's life scary. Or death. He should not have fought at UFC 247, according to some. Then he was told that he could go. Man, I'm not going to say that's my dog or anything, but we've known Derek for a long time, even before the UFC, outside the UFC. Man, I hope whatever it is isn't life or death, and that he can get healthy again as a human being. I'm only talking about, forget about the fighting. We can deal with that if and when he returns. But that's scary, man. Dude's got a family. Mm-hmm. He's made some money. He's had a rough life. But now he's turned it around and he's winning at life.
Hey, first things first is, like, should he even be fighting that way? You know, like, just the thought of it, I think, is enough to distract a human being.
Yeah.
When you really need to have all your wits about you when you're in that cage. It's such a dangerous sport. I feel for the guy, man.
Yeah, I don't know if he should have or shouldn't. I guess he got the second opinion, and they said yeah. And the only thing I can think of that pushed him through was it was in Houston. And maybe if the card was in another city, he just would have said, all right, you know, enough. But that's his adopted hometown. He's from Louisiana originally, but he's lived in Houston for many years, and he really wanted to fight there. And, of course, he does love a good paycheck, but I don't know, man. Kamaru Usman, I don't know why he said it, but he's teasing an alternative international fight week option. Everybody likes red panty night. Man, so do I. I wouldn't mind seeing Usman versus the Irishman, you know, Conor McGregor. Except I think Conor McGregor already, everything seems to, like we're already kind of solving these, you know, problems here, you know, filling in the blanks. It seems like McGregor will fight Nurmagomedov if Nurmagomedov beats Tony Ferguson. It seems like Usman versus Masvidal is set for international fight week. Oh, once he throws that out there, I'm like, oh, now what? You know what I mean?
He seems, to me, Usman seems like he would be the last guy that would be in that whole equation.
He's a bigger version of Nurmagomedov. You got to deal with Nurmagomedov.
He's a guy that
they don't want
to match up with Conor McGregor. And really, I don't even know that he would generate the type of interest. Like, at least with Habib, there's that interest that's generated through all that. But I think he's the last guy that they would ever call for that.
Right. I hear you. Michael Proceres accepts a 2-year USADA suspension, so he will be out for a couple years. Justin Willis re-signed with an A organization. He's with PFL, so he'll be part of that heavyweight stable trying to make $1 million in 2020.
He's the front runner, you think?
I'd have to see who's out there, but I think he definitely... Let me say that, yeah, it sounds like I think he could be a finalist.
Yeah, he's got to be, right?
Yeah, you never know, because you have to stay healthy is one thing, and I'm telling you, when you least expect it, there's tough fighters all over the world. All right, let's focus now, lastly, real quick, UFC on ESPN Plus 25 in Rio Rancho, New Mexico on ESPN Plus. The fights start at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. And we have, and then the main card will go at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Corey Anderson versus Jan Blachowicz. So this continues the narrative of last week, the light heavyweight division. What to do next? Dominic Reyes, should he get a rematch? Should he not? Should the winner of this fight get a rematch? I think Anderson, if he wins, will have five straight, man. I think you got to give it to him if he has an exciting win. If Blachowicz has an exciting win, well, maybe. I don't know, because remember, Blachowicz about a year ago lost to Thiago Santos. Speaking of, Thiago Santos is probably a good 6 to 9 months into his recovery. Remember, everybody promised him a rematch when he fought John Jones. How do you think this whole thing will play out? What's your prediction?
I think if it's Corey Anderson, I mean, I just envision that scenario where Dana's in front of a podium and says, how could we not give Dominic Reyes a rematch here in this particular instance? I see that happening, but I think it's a lot more difficult to do if Corey Anderson wins.
Right. If Corey Anderson wins, like he beat Johnny Walker, and then gets crazy on the mic, he might steal it. I think Reyes should have been a little bit more. He was very, you know, he had just fought. I get it. He went 25 minutes. He was disappointed. But I think this week I would have wanted to see more of an outcry from Reyes, Reyes' camp. There's a lot of people still defending him, man, including myself. I went back and rewatched the fight a couple times. I still go 3-2, Dominic Reyes. I feel like Reyes round one was clear Reyes, and Jones round five was clear Jones. I'm going to make an argument that round four was a lot closer than people think. A lot of people, like I feel like 99% of the world was giving it to John Jones. I'm saying I thought it was closer than people think. But regardless, man, the light heavyweight division has options, and that's great, because about 2 years ago we were saying the light heavyweight division's kind of weak. I think Gustafsson had retired for a bit. AJ had retired, and some of these young cats hadn't really come through. Corey Anderson had lost to Manoa and OSP back-to-back. Manoa was retired since then. OSP has dropped out of the top 15, so you see what kind of a state it was, and now it's a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, if it wasn't for John Jones, I think it'd actually be one of the funner divisions.
All right.
There'd be a lot of turnover on that belt.
Diego Sanchez is back. Madero's versus Venata. That's going to be money. The De La Rosa family are both fighting. That should be a bigger deal than it is, but Montana De La Rosa and Mark De La Rosa are both fighting on the same card. John Dodson, Tim Means. It's going to be a fun time on ESPN+. Plus. Check it out. MMA Junkies got you covered. And that's our show for today, folks. On the news side and on the side of what's upcoming. However, let's go back to that interview, or let's go to that interview that we referenced. We're going to talk to Matt McGovern from WFC. All right, MMA Junkie Radio again from the Mandalay Bay. We're going to talk to Matt McGovern, owner and president of World Fighting Championships. Wow. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And the wow comes from the fact that when your PR team, the notable Jen Wink, came to me about WFC and having you on the show, I was like, okay. You know, I figured right away, I started thinking in my head, you know, the gal, whoever's going to come in is going to talk about a smaller promotion four times a year. I couldn't believe that you already have, I think, four shows planned out just in the first quarter. You guys are keeping busy. You guys are doing well. And I tip my hat, man. This is a hard business to break into. When I saw everything, I wrote down all my notes here. When I saw everything we're going to talk about, I got excited.
Yeah, we've been silently crushing it. We've done 120-something shows in the last 7 years, so we'll do 25 shows this year. I think we've got 25 or 24 on the books already, so we're crushing it.
You just did 121 down in the Big Easy, right?
Yeah, we had New Orleans coming this weekend, so 122 is in Lake Tahoe.
I got excited because it said state line. I thought it was a state line here. I thought I might dip down and check that out, but it's I guess they call it State Line over there as well.
Yeah, State Line, Nevada, up in Tahoe. We did our first show there, and we're doing 122 there.
You said silent. You silently have been crushing. Is that by design that you guys have kind of stayed a little bit under the radar?
Yeah, because the model and the business, if you want to compete with the 800-pound gorilla with the UFC, you really can't. They build a great foundation. They've given us all the opportunities to make a living in the business. And so I learned to do small shows in casinos from my first show on. And we picked up one casino, and then we picked up another region, and we kept going. So we kind of fly under the radar and do a bunch of shows and do our best.
Tell us about that process of getting started, because when we speak to promoters, usually it's on fight week, and usually they're going crazy and they're going, I can't believe I did this. This is fighters are so difficult to deal with, and venues, this and that. But you seem so chill, like you got it down. Where did you start? Who gave you advice on which direction to go?
The fight business is wild. I'm not usually that calm. There's problems on top of problems on top of problems. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing fights in multiple regions, there's different cultures. So you deal with a lot of different personalities, and it's a difficult thing. But WFC started, me and my wife went to a fight up in Reno, Nevada. I worked for the NBA Development League selling sponsorships. And we just went to a fight on Valentine's Day, I don't know, probably 10 years ago. And
you
it was
romantic, you man.
It was it was pretty cool that my wife would go to that.
There was no cockfighting or bulls or anything available.
How'd you talk her into that?
Hey, whatever. She's super chill. And we just went. 7,500 people. Reno Event Center.
Oh wow.
Jesse Brinkley versus Joey Gilbert. They didn't have any sponsors, and they had a strip club and Budweiser sponsorship, and so. The next day, I just randomly was at a barbecue at one of a sports bar guy's house, and the promoter was there, and I just asked him, I said, hey, how much did you have in sponsorship? You had a huge sold-out show, 7,500 people is a huge show, and it was, non-televised, and he's like, it was 8,000, I was like, that's it? And he's like, oh, you think you can do better? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, let's go to lunch. So that's kind of how I got in the fight business. I sold sponsorships, and I sold a casino deal, and that's how I got in work in the business. And so I'm a good listener. I have a really good memory, and so I just pick up things from every people. And, I've personally done probably 140-something shows in the last 8 years. So I've only lost money one time on one show, so we're fortunate and blessed to have so many places.
And so you started off selling for this promoter that you just told us about.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there you said, wait a minute, I can do his job too.
No, not necessarily. I sold some sponsorships, and then I sold a casino deal. And I made a very limited amount of money off of the deal. And I'm like, we need to take this to multiple cities. And they're like, we're pretty good with this. 8 shows a year, the deal I put together. So I got out of the fight business. I was completely out. I didn't plan on staying in it. I just wasn't making a living. And so I started selling printing. And then about a year and a half later, I got a call from a guy at Harrah's. And he's like, hey, Matt, you got a really good reputation. You put the fight series together for us. And I know you were doing a lot of tickets sales for us. We want to put together a small series that we'd partner with you on. Called Fight Republic, and take it to all the small cities. And I said, well, I'm out of the fight business. I make a great living outside of the fight business. Go meet with my old promotions or, these other promoters. If you don't like them, call me back, and I'll see if my boss is okay with me doing something on the side. And a couple weeks later, he called me back, and he's like, I don't like those options. I know you can do this. His name is John Fernandez, and I still work with him today. And So we put together, he's at a Morongo Casino in Southern California now, but that's when we started Fight Republic. So we both trademarked it, us and Caesars, and we started Fight Republic. And we did 6 or 8 shows with Fight Republic in Reno, and then I started WFC.
Now I'm a curious guy. Can you tell us who the old promotion was, or are they still in business?
Oh, yeah,
are they a competitor, or are they gone?
No, it's a boxing promoter, Let's Get It On Promotions in Reno.
Okay.
So they they do some shows up in Reno still.
Oh, wow. All right. And so then you started your promotion, and then you went to or created WFC. Do you like it being called WFC?
Yes, WFC. So we started, we were joking around about names, and I was like, well, what about World Fighting Championships? And like the people we were with, like a graphic designer, we were all making fun of me like, hey, that couldn't be, you know, that's already taken.
Right?
Yeah. Right? And I looked up the trademark. It was open. So you had to put in like 5 years to establish the name. And we own the trademark World Fighting Championships and also WFC. So that's what, that's our fight promotion. It's been an incredible ride. Like to be so successful, learn the brand and take it to multiple cities has, you know, been golden for my family.
And you're done with the printing business.
Yeah, well, I was doing the printing business, you know, making a good living, and I was just making ends meet doing fights in Reno. And my wife also had a job, and my first son was being born in 2012. And my wife quit her job about 2 weeks before he was born. And then he was born. The day after he was born, I got fired from fight business. They wanted to cut my commission from 9% to 2%.
Wow.
And I got fired. And, you know, I was making six figures. And then you go from six figures to zero. And I had very limited amount of money in the bank. And my wife's like, we had the fight WFC started. We hadn't done our first show yet. But we were working on it. And my wife said, do you think you can make enough to pay our bills? And I said, yeah. She's like, then let's do it. And that's how we started it. And we did WFC 1 Lake Tahoe, August of 2012. And my baby was in the baby Bjorn in my wife's chest. She was working the ticketing booth, checking in the fighters. I was running around with my head cut off. And we did WFC 1.
What a story. So. Nice teamwork there with the wife actually being a part of the team and supporting you like that. You know, most of the time you hear like that's not the case. Usually they want them out of the fight business. But yeah. Again, this is us unleashing all the horror stories we've heard. There's been a lot of great stories as well. This is one of them.
Yeah, she's I wouldn't have probably given her the same support that she gave me, but it worked out and paid off.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're unique because you do MMA, Muay Thai, I see Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, boxing. Like, you really, really diversified mm-hmm. your, you know, the combat sports. You have a palette for every, you have something for everybody's palette out there. Mm-hmm. What made you go in that direction versus just sticking with MMA, which I think has been the downfall for a lot of organizations?
Because you got to deliver in whatever market you're in. Mm-hmm. And some sports don't work. Some sports aren't popular. Some sports don't have fighters. In Reno, Nevada, they had a really strong Muay Thai gym. So we started doing mixed shows. We had a ring that we were using for fights at Grand Sierra. And so I said, let's do some Muay Thai fights. And so we went from like 800 people to like 1,500 people for an all amateur card. And so that's when we started. And then we went to Louisiana. The casino had really a lot of success in boxing. And so I had experience doing boxing before. And it was, we did boxing. And it was all urban community that supported those events in Louisiana. But MMA is all white people that will support it. So you got totally two different demographics, and you can do more shows. Mm-hmm. And so we've picked it up. And if I was just doing MMA, I wouldn't be able to do as many casinos and as many markets as I can and as many shows. Like, we've got five shows in April, five shows in May. We've got three shows in June. We've got two shows in March. So it's a beast. But we wouldn't be able to move as fast as we could if we did just one sport.
Matt McGovern, our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio. Follow along by going to worldfightingchampionships.com. You'll see all the information that Matt's talking about, all the different venues that they'll be – venues in cities that they'll be visiting. Or you can go to WFCfights.com as well. It looks like they have gear there as well. Right away, I can tell you, Lake Tahoe on February 29th. That's WFC 122. WFC 123 is in Idaho. March 7th, and again, worldfightingchampionships.com, so you can get more information on the other upcoming cards that they have: MMA, Muay Thai, kickboxing, boxing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, they offer a lot. All right, Goz, what do you have for Matt?
So MMA, boxing, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. Is there one that's like easier to deal with fighter-wise or even managers, all that sort of thing? Are they all the same?
Probably MMA.
MMA?
It's more martial arts oriented. Mm-hmm. Their experience doing shows, the respect, and they're there for the experience. They're not there for boxing is really needy. So like even a guy I paid $800 to or $1,000 to, he had a really great fight, and I said, let's do the rematch. And I'm like, let's give you double. Let's give you $2,000 plus commission. So I make $2,500, and he's like, I want $3,000. And I'm like, like, you sold zero tickets. I just like the fight. I'm trying to give you a nice upgrade. He's like, you know, if I didn't ask, I wouldn't get it. So I just wanted to ask. And he ended up taking, you know, but I like MMA promoting a little bit better. But I like boxing to watch. Mm-hmm. As a fan more, but you know, we've really developed our niche. We work with regional casinos, and now the next step is to find the right broadcast partner to televise our fights. So we've gotten offers in the past, but we just got to find the right partner to really take the fights to the next level. And I've got to think a little bit bigger when you're doing so many shows and you're so busy. You know, like the silently crushing it thing is my real focus is selling out my shows and taking care of the casinos and the fighters that I'm working with in those places. You know, trying to grow a brand or Matt McGovern brand or WFC brand bigger hasn't been a real focus. And so we've been recently doing some bigger stuff with bigger people in the business. We've had Hans Mollenkamp fight from Monster on our show at Saboba in January a couple weeks ago.
He fought for you?
Yeah, so so he fought.
How do you do?
January 11th. Mm-hmm. So like he's Hans. If you don't know who he is, he's the Combat Sports manager for Monster. He sponsors all the UFC, Bellator, every major fighter. Big personality, great person. He called me up and wanted to do a fight. He's never fought in pro Muay Thai fight, and I said, you know, I don't really know him personally very much. And we put him in the cage and he fought, and a bunch of celebrity fighters came out to support him, actors, and the pub was super big. And, you know, the way I've been successful is just learning from people in the business, and whether it's a bad person that handles the situation the wrong way or it's a really big person, I pick people's brains and try to learn and grow as a person in the business, and that's why I've been successful. And so people like that, you know, I'm trying to learn from and expand my horizons and do bigger things. And so that's what our next step is try to get, you know, a broadcast partner.
I bet you know the answer to this. How many Native American casinos are there in the United States?
I don't know. I think there's probably 300 something.
Wow.
So they're great to deal with, you know.
It sounds like it. And it sounds like just in looking at the past and the future that that's primarily where you're going.
Yeah, you know, like we just did January 10th at Chumash Casino in Santa Ynez, Santa Barbara area. Very generous, awesome casino partners and beautiful
area. They used to do Strikeforce Challengers there.
Yeah, they did. They did it every major television network fight there.
Is
they
each tribe look at doing easy to work with, or each one have their own individual challenges?
I've had great experiences with Native American casinos. Mm-hmm. Some of them have like short hooks, but like the deals are usually easier to get done for me, just because they have a true interest in fights in general, and then the decision isn't through a corporate office. So I've taken some deals that take me 2 years to get done. And like one deal, like in the Avi Casino in Laughlin, I've been there for 7 years. I got an email from the tribe, you know, back from an email blast that I made. Said, hey, can you meet today? I drove down there, hour and 15 minutes, walked in the door, walked into a meeting for 15 minutes. She walked me into another office, the GM's. He's like, all right, you got the deal. And then we went to lunch. and I've been there for 7 years. And they're great to deal with. Wow. And I could do that for the next 20 years.
But you said something earlier, TV. Do you prefer TV or internet stream? What are you looking at, or are you open to both options?
I'm open to both options. We've been offered quite a few, you know, streaming deals, some broadcast deals.
Is the Fight Pass, is that something you can reveal? UFC Fight Pass? I imagine that that's one of the big ones, you know. That the
They've changed people quite a bit. We've had some communication with them, but that's not something we've been offered. But it's open to it. They do have a great platform.
Man, they're based in Vegas, too. You'd think they'd holler at your boy here.
Right? Where are you at?
Yeah.
But, no, we look at different things. I book out. I'm already have shows in January of 2021 booked out. So I book dates far in advance. Most televised mid-range promotions that I consider myself, they're only booking shows 6 to 8 weeks when they get a date from their casino partners, because that's where they live off of. I'm super profitable without television. So,
but you want television.
Yeah, so we've built the foundation. You know, we've got 25 shows. I've done 20 shows almost every year. Like, the first year we were in business, we did 17 shows. So the content's there. Building the shows to fit the TV while still selling out our shows, those are kind of it's a different model, right? Because I'm working on fighters within 2 hours range of that casino.
Right.
You know, when you want to pull national audience, you want a bigger feel. So, you know, making sure my casino partners are happy with driving enough traffic while making my broadcast partners happy. With the amount of coverage and the viewership, I'm going to have to build both things. But the good thing is I'm profitable without the television and the major sponsors. But once we add the television, the money will be there to get big enough fighters to fulfill the needs of the broadcast partner.
Do you have any notable alumni from these 126 shows? Or are they starting off too young still?
No, a lot of our fighters who've you know, started with us are contenders now, close to fighting for the UFC title.
Oh, nice.
So there's probably been maybe 60 to 80 guys and girls
that are on the cusp,
that have made it to the UFC.
No shit. Well,
or Major Aspen Ladd.
Oh, nice.
I think she fought on her second show. Mm-hmm. She was on her way to fighting for the title. Macy Chasson's another girl. She just won the Ultimate Fighter. But there's been, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of them. And I take no credit for them making it to the next level. You know, I think one weekend we had like 6 guys and girls on one card. But, you know, I don't push it too much because they built it for themselves, so I just gave them the opportunity to fight on a nice show in usually their hometown, but they did it themselves.
Last question. Do you want to take this thing worldwide as well, or are you good with just the United States, maybe Canada, Mexico?
It's kind of I should, because it's called World Fighting Championships.
True. Yeah.
I'd love to take it international. We've looked at a couple deals. We've been offered for international fights. We've got one in the hopper right now in the Middle East that could be huge. They're kind of competitive over there, but we've been offered deals in Vietnam, China. When Macau was really big, we wanted to do some stuff in Macau. I've got offered a deal in Canada, but it just doesn't make sense. So I'm not going to sell something that I'm not going to be able to deliver on. So
right, especially because you're having so much success right now. And
yeah, like if I'm going to go spend 6 months to figure out how to get licensed and do a show in Saudi Arabia, or and not, you know, if they want a huge fight and I can't deliver it, I'm not going to sell it.
Folks, you can go to worldfightingchampionships.com to learn more about the organization. There's links to all their social media there. The upcoming cards. We got February 29th in Lake Tahoe, and that's WFC 122. And then in Idaho on March 7th, WFC 123. I noticed it said Coeur d'Alene, which is the eastern part of Washington. The mm-hmm. So you're right on the borders where you guys are going to be visiting on that particular
night, Coeur d'Alene Casino, and it's like Worley, Idaho. So you fly into Spokane, drive down an hour. Yeah. So it's a beautiful place. We did two shows there last year, and we're going back. But we've got March 7th there, March 14th in Oklahoma, April 3rd and 4th at Chumash, boxing on Friday, MMA on Saturday.
Sweet.
We're going to Florida for the first time this year. So, you know, we're touching all bases. We're in the Midwest, East Coast, so... It's
and your cards are hybrid, right? In one night, you can get MMA and boxing, or when you go, it's sometimes just one particular sport?
No, most of the time, it's just one particular sport.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Lake Tahoe is going to be MMA, Muay Thai, and jiu-jitsu matches, but most of the cards are one sport or the other. Like, we have at Chumash Casino in Santa Ynez, we're doing boxing on Friday and then MMA on Saturday. Some states don't allow hybrid sports.
Plus the cage, the ring would probably be a headache.
Yeah, but we just do a ring.
All right. Hey, Matt, thanks for stopping by and letting us get to know more about you and WFC. It sounds like you got a great thing going on, and if you can get on television, internet, and broaden and get in front of more people's eyes, that'll be awesome, because it sounds like you guys have a busy and active schedule, and that's what combat sports fans want.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, folks. There you have it. Matt McGovern from WFC. And go to the website, worldfightingchampionships.com. There you have it. I'm telling you, there's a lot of organizations that can do a lot for the young fighters, and this sounds like one of them to me, goes.
Yeah, this dude was kind of cool. I really enjoyed talking to him. I can't believe how young he is that he's able to do that and turn a profit.
Yeah, he was just a fan. Somebody said, well, can you do it? Yeah, I can do it. And next thing you know, like you said, he's profitable. He's staying busy this year. And they've already banked a lot of shows. But yeah, shout out to Jen Wink for putting him on our radar. And thank you, Matt McGovern, for stopping by the Mandalay Bay. Folks, we are going to bounce out of here now. Thank you so much, as always, for your support. At MMA Junkie George for me on Instagram and on Twitter. At MMA Junkie Goes. Or excuse me, you're at the Goes.
I'm at the Goes.
For Twitter and Instagram, it's at MMA Junkie Radio for the radio show. With that, folks, we bounce out. Have a nice weekend. Go out there and be a champion.